Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. As the Holy Spirit works in us, day by day, week by week, month by month, and then year after year, shaping our character and personality to reflect the character and the personality of Christ, our life increasingly becomes organized around God and around His type of life. This the Bible calls eternal life. Now, as that happens, self-denial begins to settle as our natural temperament. But this takes time. And the time it takes, I'm talking years and years here, largely depends on our willingness to enter into the disciplines of the spiritual life, which God uses to bring about these changes within us. The love of God is a very unique and a special kind of love. We could talk for ages about images and stories which give us glimpses into the love of God. But it's probably easiest to simply say that the love of God is most fully expressed in the cross, the Son of God crucified for us. Here we see the ultimate act of self-giving, self-sacrificing love. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 2, he says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross." This is who God is making us like. Christ. To be like Christ is to deny oneself. Self-denial, or being increasingly dead to self but alive to God, is what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. Learning from Jesus how He would live my unique God-given life is about learning how to be dead to self. I have to tell you, I've come to realize that I'm quite ready to die. I'm quite ready and willing to go to be with Jesus. God has shown me this a number of times by situations in which I have found myself. I do not fear death, but I do, however, fear being dead to self whilst continuing to live this life. Do you see what I'm saying? I think deep in my heart, I would rather die than to truly be dead to self. Yet intellectually in my head, I know that this is precisely where Jesus tells me that I will find real life. Jesus made it very clear to his disciples that if anyone would come after me, he said, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. I think I'm growing in this. I mean, I know I am. When I honestly recall things I used to do and say, how I used to think, I can see that there has been some painfully slow progress in this area. I would like to believe, especially as someone who has enjoyed the privilege of theological training and someone who has engaged in years of fairly formal personal formation, that I would be a selfless, self-denying person. But I know how truly selfish I am and how readily I will automatically choose the self-centered path. I know how quickly I will defend myself and hit back at another if I feel they have crossed my will. I know how readily I will get angry, not necessarily on the outside, but internally. Our latest psychology texts tell us, I talked about this in the last message, I think, that anger is the result of a blocked goal. I think that's pretty true. We naturally get frustrated and angry when things don't go as we would like them to go. This causes me no small amount of angst. I am distressed by this reality, and I honestly wonder if there's any hope of me truly becoming Christ-like. I mean, you may feel the same way. As I have prayed about this and as I've searched the scriptures, I feel that God has given me a helpful image, a metaphor of what is actually happening here. God has shown me that a person's life is like a glass of water. In our natural human state, a glass of water that isn't being refilled, it just is. The glass is full from the day we're born, but gradually it just dries up. The water evaporates away, and ultimately you're left with an empty, dry glass. We are flesh and blood. We are made from dust, carbon atoms in a myriad of arrangements, and when we die, we go back to being dust. You know, when I take a funeral, as I have many times over the past 20 or so years, as the body is being lowered into the ground, I say those words, dust to dust and ashes to ashes. In the glass of water, there is dust, fine dust, clay particles. There doesn't need to be much, just a little, and the water instantly becomes cloudy. You know, our natural tendency is to be very selfish, to be self-centered. Self-love, selfishness is the clay in our glass. It clouds our life so that we can't see clearly. We can't see God, we can't see others, and we can't really see ourselves. We can't see who we really are. That's what selfishness does. But when one becomes a Christ follower, everything changes. That really does. I mean, God moves into that person. That is the promise of the scriptures, that God literally makes his home within you. God showed me with this glass of water picture that when that happens, when a person becomes a Christian, it's like God pouring diamonds into our glass. They settle in the bottom of the glass and they become the foundation of everything else in our life. The diamonds represent the love of God. And we know what that love looks like, don't we? Dead to self and alive to God, selfless and self-giving. The problem is the water is still full of clay particles. Initially, it looks as though nothing has changed. Our life, our glass still looks the same. There's heaps of clay, heaps of selfishness, and we can't even begin to see the love of God. Intellectually, we believe the scriptures, we know it's there, but we can't, and often others can't, see any difference. The truth is, the truth that we need to hold on to is that we now have eternal life. That is God's kind of life. Not simply more of this kind of life, but a completely new kind of life. A kind of life that Jesus told the Samaritan woman at the well was like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The kind of life that, well, just like water that is continually flowing in, brings cleansing and renewal as it overflows all around us. Do you see how in the image of the glass, as it represents our life, that as we continue to open ourselves to the love and the grace of God, that his spirit eventually washes all the remnants of the old life, the dust and the clay, the natural tendency towards selfishness, out. Eventually, all that will be left will be crystal clear water flowing around a foundation of diamonds, pure, selfless, God-centered, transparent. But we're not there yet. Presently, we endure a life full of murky water that God is slowly cleansing by his Spirit. He will do it. You can be sure of that. He promises to do it. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God himself promises to carry on the work that he began in us right through to completion. He will make us Christ-like. But it's a scary thing to relentlessly move toward selflessness. I've come to realize that, for me at least, the fear seems to revolve around want. The fear that I will not have enough. I'm not really sure of just exactly what I'm fearful of not having enough of, but I know it's there. Maybe it's blessing. I'm afraid that if I become more and more dead to self, that I won't have enough blessing. That's when I need to cling onto Psalm 23, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And then in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know, death to self, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, the rod and staff of discipline, they comfort me. as the Lord teaches us, as his love and grace continues to flow into us, as our glass becomes clearer and clearer, we will increasingly not be surprised or even offended when we don't get what we want. We will not even notice some things that others would automatically react to, like social slights, subtle little insults, or physical discomforts. As we grow in this, less and less they will disturb our feelings or our peace of mind. Less and less we will desire to get even when we're wronged. Less and less we will feel the need to fiercely stand up for our rights when we perceive they have been violated. People who are dead to self are free to focus their efforts on the service of God and others and the furthering of good. They are freed to be a blessing, and they are being blessed. Saint Francis of Assisi famously once said, "We will wear the world like a loose garment, which touches us in a few places and there lightly." And as apprentices of Jesus, we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that we do not have to look out for ourselves, for the simple reason that God is looking out for us. He promises to. David says, "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen.